Welcome to the Newsmax Daily for Thursday, April 18, 2024, or 4-18-24, the 109th day of the year, the 16th Thursday of the year, and it's National High Five Day. A lot of people have gone to the fist bump, right, especially since the pandemic, which is equally as effective. But today, throw a high five at a coworker, a friend, or a family member. There weren't many high fives or fist bumps, if any, going around at that gas station President Biden stopped at near Pittsburgh yesterday. A lot of people are making a big deal, rightfully so, about the apparent lack of enthusiasm there. But if you have seen the video, if you haven't seen the video, I highly encourage you to go see it. But if you've seen the video, I'm guessing someone finally told the president to stay away from the kids, especially the little girls. As soon as he walks in, you can see him get all excited about a young girl sitting right up front with who I'm guessing is her mother. Joe walks right up to them. He's smiling, he's happy, and then he just walks away. No handshake, no high five, no fist bump, no photo, nothing. The president and staff returned to the White House yesterday only to fly back to Philadelphia today. Same state as Pittsburgh, right? Not that far away. Seems like the Clean Energy Administration is unnecessarily burning up a lot of jet fuel. I mean, the night before, they stayed at a hotel in Pennsylvania. I don't know why they came back to the White House just to go back to Pennsylvania. I'm sure there's some logistical reason. Meanwhile, this story from Scranton also getting a lot of coverage.
He got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be, there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
And they volunteered because someone couldn't make it. Got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time.
Oh, gosh. Joe Biden mumbling and grumbling about cannibals. A totally gross and untrue story. Talking about Uncle Finnegan or Uncle somebody who got shot down. Well, it wasn't over New Guinea. It was over the water. And he wasn't eaten by people. But Joe just had to make a story gross. And he also had to tell a story that was untrue.
That's Greg Kelly, host of Greg Kelly Reports, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after The Balance with Eric Bolling, who spoke with country music star and entrepreneur John Rich.
He started that with his father, Joe's home, his father, and then it was Uncle Bozy, and then there was Cannibal. We're just a bit lost. You speak Bidenese by chance, John Rich?
Listen, if we had a relative like that at a family reunion, someone would be stationed next to him the entire time so he didn't wander out into the street. It's pathetic. It's pitiful. And America's getting a really good look at what happens when you put someone like that into the White House. We're getting a real good look. I've said this before, Eric, but unity will happen in America when our shared pain becomes intolerable. And we are approaching that point where it does not matter if you're left, right, or in the middle, where you come from, what your socioeconomic status is. We all have the same problems, and they are growing by leaps and bounds. Unfortunately, pain is a great alarm clock.
You know, you're speaking the words that we're thinking. John Rich, one more thought. Today, this afternoon, the Senate decided against. Chuck Schumer did something that's never been done before. He decided not to do a Senate trial of the impeachment of Mayorkas. Mayorkas was impeached. They sent it to the Senate. And the Senate, instead of listening to the evidence and deciding whether Mayorkas was guilty or not, they decided not to do it. Your thoughts, final thought on the Democrats hiding a failed administration, the Biden administration.
It's physics. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. That is a fact. And what they did today will have an equal and opposite reaction when people go to vote, because Democrats just watched their own representatives not give them what they wanted, which was to get this guy out of there and put somebody in that could turn this mess around. They are suffering in these cities. They are under assault on many levels in these cities, and so are their children. And I believe in November, all of this comes back in spades.
John Rich, really good having you.
John Rich on The Balance with Eric Bolling. If you're a John Rich fan, a Big and Rich fan, or a contributor to Folds of Honor, I did an interview with John Rich a few years ago on my own podcast at the time. I put that on X today, if you're following me. If not, it's at @radio_Marino. It was a really informative and fun interview, at least I think so. If you have 10 minutes or so, go check it out. So, as Eric and John mentioned, the Senate, led by Democrat Chuck Schumer, voted to reject the two articles of impeachment targeting Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
On this vote, the yeas are 51, the nays are 48. One senator responded present. The point of order is well taken, and the article falls.
Newsmax host Carl Higbee picks up coverage on that.
Both articles of impeachment were just completely dismissed by Chuck Schumer because they were deemed unconstitutional. How? I have no idea. No further details. If you work in the government, and I'll be honest, this does actually apply to both sides of the aisle, but it really applies to Democrats. Forget Alejandro Mayorkas for just a second here. Pete Buttigieg, he's gotten like bridges falling down, trains derailing. Just today, they grounded all of Alaska Airlines flights, but not because the doors were blowing off the planes, but because of some stupid IT outage. We had two branches of government pass a bill called the Inflation Reduction Act. Was inflation reduced? No, it was not. But this is the government. They do all kinds of stupid stuff. And in Alejandro Mayorkas' case, literally nothing at all, which is just as bad. Which is why I keep saying, hey, maybe shutting down the government might be a good thing, because the less they do, apparently the less we get hurt. Specifically when it comes to people like Mayorkas. Not only is he actually not securing the border at all, he's incentivizing people to come here. Him and all of his leftist cohorts in all these blue cities. And then he sits there, he lies through his teeth with his smug look on his face, and tells people he's doing his job. Then he just says stuff like, I can't do my job because Congress won't let me. But then Congressman Cloud from Texas, thank God for this guy, he called him out.
Congress removed any authorities from you or the president since you've taken office.
Congressman, the point that you make with respect to border
patrol agents. The answer is no. I'd also make the point that you have approximately 20% larger budget than Trump had.
You can't hide from this one, Mayorkas. All these bad border policies have caught up to the Democrats in an election year, by the way, which is why he has to lean on the same desperate talking points on what the real threat is.
We are in a heightened threat environment, and what we worry about is an increase in what we call domestic violent extremism, the radicalization of individuals already here, driven to violence based on an ideology of hate.
Buzzwords right there. Domestic violent extremism. We all know what that means. He's talking about Trump supporters. He's talking about you and I. And that brings me to the January 6th debacle, which was in front of the Supreme Court yesterday. Federal prosecutors, I think they way overcharged, like hundreds, it's over 300 defendants, with this stupid obstruction charge that usually applies to people who destroy documents. All 5.5 conservative justices were super skeptical about this yesterday.
What does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify, or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
Oh, good point. You're going to lock up grandma for being allowed into the people's house, mind you, for obstruction, because that somehow impeded the business of U.S. Congress, but not Jamal Bowman, who pulled the fire alarm with the full intent being the key word, of stopping House business.
That's Carl Higbee, and it was Justice Neil Gorsuch asking the question about pulling the fire alarm. Congressman Bowman, you may recall, was later censured by the Republican-led House in a vote mainly along party lines, but he was never charged with anything, no less convicted. Well, I guess he can't be convicted if he was never charged. But Carl spoke with Jacob Chansley, the MAGA shaman, who has essentially become the face of the January 6th riot at the Capitol.
But Jacob, I mean, this wouldn't be the first time that the January 6th people have over-prosecuted. I mean, we were told that you had essentially barged in and broken into the Capitol, and you were standing on the House floor screaming and yelling. And then they released the videotapes, and it turns out you were there being led by the cops and even praying with them.
Yes. Well, what we're talking about here is statutory interpretation. and the Solicitor General, I believe is the term, they are basically using this term otherwise and their interpretation of the statute to create a tyrannical dragnet that they can then use to go after their political opponents and save their political allies from prosecution, like Bowman or the BLM Antifa rioters, or even the people doing the sit-in at Kavanaugh's swearing in. And this is the weaponization of the executive branch of government and the use of the law to go after people that they believe are a threat to their political aspirations.
Yeah. But Bruce, when we see these types of overreaches, it inevitably is like some sort of domino effect. So if this gets struck down as an over-prosecution, how much of the rest of the January 6th defendants, regardless of the charge, how many of those are going to be heavily scrutinized now as well?
Well, if this is struck down, then the people who are convicted of that particular offense, those sentences are going to go away. But what I'm afraid is going to happen is that anybody who hasn't been prosecuted fully yet, including clients of my own, will get the Justice Department will try to make up for losing this charge by going to other charges and trying to hit them harder. And this has been a program that it was put in place. It started with the impeachment. I said it on the floor of the Senate that the reason why we're all here is the Democrats don't want to face Donald Trump in the election. And it has been one thing after the next, all designed to put fear into those that that support Donald Trump and to make Donald Trump the leader of the Republican Party, to make him unable to answer and lead the party because of all of these attacks. But this is one continuous attack on Donald Trump and making it so unpleasant and for his allies and for anybody who wants to be an ally of his that the Justice Department is putting the fear of God into people. So what I'm afraid is going to happen is the Supreme Court will strike down this and other charges will get magnified.
They'll just make more stuff up.
That's Carl Higbee, host of Frontline on Newsmax, with attorney Bruce Castor, the former Attorney General of Pennsylvania, and Jacob Chansley. The Chris Salcedo Show featured a story that's going viral today about a North Carolina high school student disciplined for using the term illegal alien. You can't even make it up anymore.
In Democrat-dominated GovEd, a young boy has been suspended from Central Davidson High School in Lexington, North Carolina. His crime? According to the Carolina Journal, Christian McGee was suspended for 3 days after a teacher had given an assignment that used the word alien. Christian asked if the teacher meant, like, space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards. Because he used the words illegal alien, he was suspended. The term alien and illegal alien are used throughout U.S. laws. The term can be found in 8 U.S. Code 1325. It can also be found in federal law and in congressional acts. Section 1252C of the Aliens and Nationality Laws, titled Authorizing State and Local Law Enforcement Officials to Arrest and Detain Certain Illegal Aliens. Similar language can be found in Section 1365, titled Reimbursement of States for Costs of Incarcerating Illegal Aliens and Certain Cuban Nationals. In other words, the young man was punished by a GovEd school, by a GovEd official or several officials, for using a legal and proper term used by our own government because it offended left-wingers' support for lawlessness. This obscene level of indoctrination commanding our children to deny reality and blessing illegal behavior should not have resulted in this child being suspended, but it should result in every adult responsible for that suspension being fired and prohibited from ever having access to children in a teaching environment ever again. But sadly, the GOP has surrendered us and our children to this GovEd system that has, like everything else the left touches, descended into abusive pushers of anti-rule of law agendas, and through punishing, making our children victims to the left's barbarous assault on the human spirit, a spirit that knows right from wrong.
Chris Salcedo is host of The Chris Salcedo Show. Since the term illegal alien is printed and used in the U.S. government and government documents, as Chris pointed out, sounds to me like Christian has a lawsuit. And jury selection is continuing today in New York for Donald Trump's hush money trial. Yesterday, 7 jurors were finally selected, but they need 11 more, 5 to fill the 12-person jury and 6 alternates. One of the chosen jurors is a school teacher who said she admires how Trump speaks his mind. And one is identified as a grandfather who said Trump is fascinating and mysterious. Former Trump advisor and Newsmax host Sebastian Gorka is also fascinating and mysterious. Here's what he had to say about the Trump trial and Donald Trump's bodega visit.
The idea of this case going forward, barring the president from appearing at the Supreme Court or his son's high school graduation, I mean, they're re-electing him every single day that these lawfare attacks against him proceed. I mean, it's ingenious retail politics. I don't know who had the idea, whether it was the president himself. Every day he's in New York, he should go to a different part of New York and have a rally, basically, thanks to Engeron, thanks to Merchan, thanks to Alvin Bragg. This is how he walks back into the White House. And if I may, Rob, I'm not an emeritus law professor from Harvard, but I couldn't disagree more strenuously with Professor Dershowitz on the issue of high crimes and misdemeanors and treason. When Alejandro Mayorkas lets in 10,000 illegals today, when people, beautiful young Americans like Lake and Riley, are murdered by people who are let in here by his Department of Homeland Security, yes, he should be impeached for being the largest human smuggler in American history and aiding and abetting the cartel. So that's one American's take.
So the contrast yesterday, pretty interesting. Trump forced to sit in a courtroom all day, 7 hours. Meanwhile, Biden able to hit the campaign trail in battleground state of Pennsylvania in his hometown of Scranton, the place where he was born and raised. Here's what he said when he took the stage. Take a listen.
My grandfather would tell me when I walked out the door in North Washington Avenue in Scranton.
Yeah, Sebastian, he can't even get out Scranton. And that was one of many gaffes that we saw yesterday.
No. Sorry. A gaffe is when you just, accidentally misspeak.
A gaffe's when you say, let's say you're talking about the continent of Africa and you call Africa a country. That's a gaffe.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
My mistake was I didn't correct myself, but Africa is most certainly a continent. Sorry, Dr. Gorka, to you.
No, this guy is mentally compromised. Look, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a PhD. But just go back 5 years, just 5 years, not 20. I mean, he's been in politics for what? 49 years, go back 10 years and watch videos of Senator Biden and comparing today. Mm-hmm. He is cognitively impaired. And the idea that this man, 24 hours a day, is within 20 feet of the nuclear football should petrify everyone. I mean, if we could ignore war in Ukraine, war in the Middle East, a rising China, that would be bad enough, but we can't. And the fact that this is the guy who's supposed to keep us safe, he can't walk upstairs. Which person who seems to be healthy falls 4 times on one staircase? The fact that he has to use the kiddie stairs for Air Force One now, and they won't allow him to go up the presidential stairs, tells you this man cannot be the president.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka on Wake Up America with Rob Finnerty and Charlotte McBride, which begins at 6:30 a.m. Eastern, by the way. Don't forget about the Gorka reality check on Sundays as well. All right, so the president is back in Pennsylvania today and will be back at the White House tonight. Trump is at the trial in New York and on Capitol Hill. Negotiations on funding bills for Ukraine and Israel is continuing. And maybe today President Biden will stop for an ice cream cone. Keep up with all of the news all day and night on Newsmax. It is available on most major cable systems. Also, make sure you're streaming on Newsmax Plus. Simply go to newsmaxplus.com to get signed up, and you can get a free trial as well. I'm Tony Marino. Thank you for listening to the Newsmax Daily. Share it with your friends and family. By the way, today is also National Exercise Day, so try and get out or squeeze in some exercise somewhere, somehow. That includes me as well. What whatever you do, enjoy the rest of your Thursday and keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.